So, what does the promise of Christ's return mean for those of us who are Christians, who are followers of Jesus? Well, it should be a source of great encouragement for us. In the scriptures, the return of Christ is portrayed as a wonderful source of hope for us as believers. Now we live by faith and not by sight. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's not visible to us. But the promise of his return means that one day we will see him face to face. Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour. He is the treasure of our lives. He is the one whom we know and seek to follow day by day as we walk in joyful fellowship with him. And so the hope of his return should be a wonderful source of encouragement to us to know that Jesus is coming back and that we will see him one day. Many parts of the Bible help us express this longing for Jesus' return. In Philippians chapter 3, we read these words: "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." The cry at the end of the book of Revelation is, "Come, Lord Jesus." And in this time of lockdown, I'm sure you are missing being with friends and family. That creates a sense of loss that we can't see them, we can't be with them. And that loss makes our longing to be together all the more sincere and urgent. We look forward to the day when we will be able to hug our friends and our family and kiss them and just enjoy being together. And I wonder, is that longing an echo in our hearts of the longing that we have for Jesus? Do you long to see Jesus at his coming and be with him? The encouragement that one day we will see Christ and be utterly satisfied in his presence. But as well as an encouragement, I think there's a challenge here for us. As Jesus himself talks about his return in Matthew 24, he says these words: "So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So I wonder, are you ready for Christ's return? When Jesus comes for the Christian, he will come as our precious Saviour, yes, but he'll also come as our judge. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we read these words: "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." Remember these words, this letter is written to the church at Corinth. This is written to believers. So believers are included in all those who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ when he returns. Now in God's mercy, we will not have to account for our sin. That has been marvelously dealt with by Christ on the cross. We have been justified by Christ and stand righteous in him and in him alone. But we will have to give an account for the way in which God has given us so much. He has given us resources such as time, such as gifts and skills and opportunities. And we will have to account for the way we have used these during this life. The good or bad refers here to our faithfulness to God and our fruitfulness for him. So the challenge for us: are we ready for Christ's return? If Christ was to come, say, tomorrow or next week, how would you use your time differently? What conversations might you have? What priorities would alter because of that great reality? I plead with you to use this time in lockdown, when many of us have more time at our disposal than we normally do, to use it well. Use it to deepen our longing for Christ, and to use it to be ready for when he returns.
3 weeks into lockdown, I had the realisation of just how far-reaching and long-lasting the effects of this crisis would be. I struggled to know how to pray. I looked at my picture rainbow in my front window, a sign of hope for my neighbours, and a symbol of my hope in God's promises. That morning, a photo had popped up on my phone memory, and it reminded me of the real message I wanted to share with my neighbours, the reason for my hope. Crail is my very special happy place. The rocky shoreline in the distance is where, as an 8-year-old, I asked Jesus into my heart. He's been with me every step of the way since. Now, with time to reflect on my memories of the beauty and the peace that this place holds for me, I am reassured by how wonderful the promises of God are and how steadfast is his faithfulness. I was blessed that this was no virtual feeling, but this was reality within me. God loves us. God is with us. God cares for us. Let's pray. Today, we pray for all nations across the world affected by COVID and pray all will know God's overwhelming, steadfast love. We pray all leaders will seek the wisdom of God as they make the decisions to move us forward safely. We continue to ask blessing on all medical staff and carers that they will have the emotional and physical strength to carry on the frontline battle. And we pray that scientists gain the knowledge needed to treat this illness and develop an effective vaccine. Our neighbours need love, hope and peace. We think of those most acutely affected, the fearful, the vulnerable, the isolated, children out of school, those facing financial hardship or missing social care activities. We pray that practical needs will be met, that loneliness will be kept at bay as friends and neighbours reach out in love. Lord, help us to know how to keep everyone connected and safe. As your word sounds out across our nation, with many viewing worship songs, tuning in to Sunday services, online Alpha, or turning to prayer during lockdown, we pray that people will be open to its truth, that they will know God is with them, God is for them, and that he desires a relationship with them. We pray that we can be a people of hope, that we can encourage others to lean on God's sustaining presence and his unfailing promises. Amen.
Finally, what does this promise of Christ's return mean for those who are not following Jesus? Let me share a challenge and then end on an encouragement. The challenge comes with Jesus being judge. On the surface of it today, many squirm at the notion of any idea of there being a sense of an ultimate judge. Many might scoff at the notion of having to be accountable to anyone else for their lives. But if we consider it deeply, I think we all have an innate sense of justice, that if someone does wrongs, then it's fitting that these wrongs be righted, that evil is punished, and that justice should and will prevail. And the Bible teaches that God has appointed Jesus to be the judge of all. As I said earlier, of the Christian, Christ has marvellously dealt with our sins. As the Christian stands at the judgment, he stands, they stand, forgiven in Christ, righteous in him. But the reality is that for those not in Christ, judgment is an altogether different experience. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 speaks of Christ's return and his act of judgment. It says, as Jesus is revealed from heaven, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. What a somber and tragic reality. This is not an easy thing for me to say, that those who do not respond as God reveals himself to them will be eternally shut out from the presence of the Lord. But that is the great challenge of Christ's return. But as well as a challenge, let me share an encouragement. Along with the promise of Christ's return, the scriptures match that with the promise of God's salvation. Let me read a few words from Isaiah 55. The prophet writes, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon." and the promise of God's salvation is supremely fulfilled in Christ. In his perfect life, in his sacrificial death for our sins on the cross, and in his resurrection to new life. And for all who will come to accept that offer of salvation, to receive forgiveness through Christ, we can have that great hope that we've spoken about already, that hope now and forever. And Hilda has expressed for us so well her response to the promise of God's salvation. As an 8-year-old girl, she trusted in Jesus, and she can testify to knowing the reality of Christ's presence with her through all of her life. But I wonder, how about you? Where do you stand with Christ? Because one day it will be too late to respond to Jesus. But the Bible says now is the day of salvation. And I like to describe this response in three steps. A, B, C. A, admit. Admit that you have gone wrong, that you have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect and glorious standard. B, to believe. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he has lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and is now alive and inviting us to respond to him. And then finally, C, to commit to following Jesus, just like Hilda has shared as she has walked this path of the Christian life, that she has known Jesus with her every step of the way. So here we are at the top of a hillside outside of Perth, and we've been thinking about these wonderful moments on the hilltop outside of Jerusalem, the place where Jesus ascended into heaven, the place where the angels appeared to the disciples and assured them of Christ's return. So I plead with you this morning, wherever you are, whoever you are, to be ready for the day when Christ will fulfill his promise and return. Be ready for that momentous, awe-inspiring day. The great promise of Christ's return, that world-changing, eternity-defining moment. The great reality of our lives. The promise that the angel spoke about. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.